ان الحمد لله والصلاه والسلام على اشرف الانبياء وعلى اله واصحابه ومن والاه وبعد my dear brothers and sisters, I want to remind myself and you about the importance of role models. What is it that we, who are the people we look up to, and what is it that we look up to them for? Because that is what determines the course of our own lives. This is also the principle based on which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ, that Allah said that for you the best example is the life of my Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. A good example for you is the life of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now we like to quote the ayat and so on, and we talk about that, but the issue is, who is actually our role model? Let me give you some examples. In the auto show of in the Geneva auto show, which is the motor automobile show in Europe, the principal focus of all the displays was on technology in cars. So they're talking about digital dashboards, they're talking about digital diagnostics of cars. You take the key of your BMW, just the key, you take the key of the BMW to the BMW workshop, and he will tell you whatever is wrong with your car. The car is not there, just the key. The focus is also on use of fuel, fuel economy, alternate fuels, electrical energy, and so on and so on. The focus is on self-driving cars. So all the focus of the auto show in Geneva is on technology, on fuel efficiency, on fuel to power conversion ratios, and so on. So imagine this father and son go there. The father takes his son to this auto show, and what is he exposed to? He's exposed to aspirational goals in pushing back the boundaries of research and knowledge in technology. Same auto show, Middle East auto show in Dubai. Focus is on gold-plated rims and gold-plated dashboard frames. Yeah? So father and son go to the Dubai show, and the aspiration and the aspirational goals are bling and more bling. Right? More shine, more bling. Now, question is, therefore, what are the frameworks that we are looking at? If you look at the star map of the world, names of stars and so on, you will find that over two-thirds, more than 66%, the names are Arabic. The names of stars are Arabic. More than 66%. Why? Because it was the Arabs and the Muslims who mapped the skies, who were the pioneers in navigation. They were the people who invented the astrolabes. They were the people who charted the seas. And to this day, their mark is on the skies and on the heavenly charts of the world. But if you take the number of Nobel Prizes won from 1900 to 2010, right? 1900-2010. In science and technology, I'm not talking about stupid things like Nobel Peace Prize, which is given, you know, like candy. I'm talking about actual work. Science and technology from 1900 to 2010, we're talking about 110 years. 25% of those prizes, one quarter, 25% of those prizes are won by Jewish people. Do one single Google search in terms of number, population of Jews in the world, and you will get what I mean. I won't tell you the number. I'm going to ask you to do the search and shock yourself. 25% of Nobel Prizes in science and technology goes to Jewish people. And Muslims, who are 1.5 billion, got 2.5 prizes. The third prize is shared. So be generous, say 3 prizes. 3 Nobel Prizes in science and technology in 110 years, while the Jews got 25% of the Nobel Prizes. Now question is, there are also other people, other races of people, and I won't name them because we don't want to offend anybody, who got nothing, right? Who got nothing. Their names are not on the star charts. They did not even get 1 Nobel Prize. But the point is, there's no grief over that, because they made no mark in terms of science and technology in the world ever. But what happened to this group of people who made this huge impact and then vanished from the surface of the planet? Why? This is what I mean by role models. You might say, well, you know, we are not materialistic people, which is absolute, complete rubbish, because we are the most materialistic people of the whole world. Somebody asked the manager of Harrods in London, they asked him, who are the biggest buyers? He said, Arabs, the Muslims. So they said, what time do they come to the store? He said, 2 o'clock in the night. So they said, but 2 o'clock in the night, you are not open. He said, no, we are not open. Then how do they come? He said, we go to them. They don't come, we go to them. He asked them, what do they buy? He said, colored rocks. Colored rocks. Emeralds, diamonds, rubies. They asked him, average price of a colored rock. He said, 12 million. Point I'm making is, so let's not talk about materialism. Forget materialism. We are the most materialistic people in the world. However, the issue is this. The issue is that materialism or not, if you say that we are not material, we are spiritual. So tell me, in the last 100 years, which are the landmark publications of a spiritual nature that came from the Muslim world? And once again, we are not talking about how come this nation never did anything spiritual. Imam Al-Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi challenged the entire philosophy of the Greeks, and he won over them, and in his book Al-Ihya ul-Ulum, people have said that after the Quran, if all the books of the Muslim world disappear, and if there is only one book left after the Quran, which book should it be? They said, Ihya ul-Ulum. That is the level of Imam Al-Ghazali's one person. And he was not alone. He was not alone. That is the level of his thinking. Not only were Muslims open to other philosophies and to debating them and to... I'm not talking about debating in the sense of standing on a platform and talking nonsense. I'm talking about actual research-based response to philosophical theories. The Muslims invented a completely new brand of knowledge, a completely new body of knowledge, which was based on tahqiq, on investigation of philosophy and responding to it. So they were open to the extent of completely creating a new body of knowledge, which is unique. I mean, there is no other people in the world who have this. There are two things that are unique with us. One is in terms of tahqiq of ahadith. Ilmul Asma al-Rijal, the history of the narrators of hadith, is a body of knowledge that is there with the Muslim, which does not exist with any other people in terms of authentication of historical fact. And the second one is this. And today, we have people, we are allergic to scientific thinking and knowledge. We have people who will sit and give a fatwa to say it is haram to send our children to universities because they will get ruined. So if science ruins, then what were all these people doing? And we talk about all these names and, you know, this one and that one and Ibn Sina and Razi and so forth. So they were all examples of ruined people. Seriously, we have to get our act together. That's why I'm saying talk about role models. Ask your children, what are their role models? Ask yourself, what are your role models? I will guarantee you that your role models will be people of consumption, role models of consumption, not of creation. I'll guarantee you, your role model will be somebody's got this particular car, somebody's got this, somebody's got that, this gadget, that junk. I will guarantee you that probably not one single one of your children, and you are responsible, not your children, not one single child of yours will give a role model of an inventor. He will give a role model, he will say, so this such and such inventor is my role model, such and such scientist is my role model, such and such research worker is my role model, such and such a professor who is teaching in this and this university, and that's my goal, is to go and sit in his class. And you are responsible, not the children, because that is the example that you are setting them. Seriously, we need to get our act together. Otherwise, get prepared for one more generation to be sold into slavery, which is what we have been doing for the last 300 years. We have been the slaves of people for the last 300 years, and we have enslaved ourselves. Nobody's enslaved us. Nobody enslaved us. We did it for us. We did it to ourselves. Be prepared for one more generation. Unless you wake up and do something about it. Examine your role models. And don't tell me Rasulullah is your role model. That is the biggest lie in the world. That is the worst lie in the world. You are lying against the Prophet if you say that he is your role model. That's an absolute, total, blatant lie. Because if he was the role model, then this ummah would not have been in this deep you know what. So that's a total lie. Forget that. Let us wake up and decide who we want for our role models, and then go and pursue those role models and try to imbibe some of those qualities, and ask yourself, what qualities are those which we want to imbibe from these role models? You don't have to swallow the entire model. You take things from people which are of benefit to you. What are those things? What are the benefits that you and I will derive from that? I don't want to prolong this. I can give you data about reading, I can give you data about knowledge assimilation, I can give you data about university ratings, I can give you all kinds of data. But I don't want to waste your time anymore. I think I've said enough. Go and do your own research. But this is where we are, and it's not a nice place. So let us wake up and examine our role models and change them, and then inculcate this in our children if we really are interested in the benefit of our children. If not, they're your children. وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.